Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Parshas Truma is a very different kind of parasha, and it requires much more than just basic pshat, obviously, understanding exactly what Rabbi Yisai wanted from us. I want to begin this parasha and to explain it in a very basic way, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes in order for us to build a Mishkan for him, by asking a few questions. Number one, the obvious question that all the Balei Musa ask, what's pshat? Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemoi, Vaydaber El Bnei Yisrael, speak to Klal Yisrael, Vayikhu Li Truma, take for me Truma. Obviously, it would be a lot better if it would say, Vayitnu Li Truma, give to me Truma. What's take for me Truma? You're not taking, you're giving. Okay? That's all the Balei Musa ask this question. Vayikhu Li Truma should be Vayitnu Li Truma. Secondly, if you look in the items that they did collect, the parasha itemized exactly what they took. This is a truma that you should take. Zov, kesef, nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, tcheles, argomon, la'ashoni, which is translated to be, tcheles is turquoise, purple, scarlet, yeah, all different kinds of wool, yeah, tcheles, v'argomon, t'la'ashoni, v'sheish means twined. Now what's that sheish referring to? That's referring to flax, the izim, and goats. Now again, it's a bit, if you look at the poshut pshat, it's very difficult to understand. I'm not going into any difficult, deep understanding over here. Poshut pshat. In other words, take gold, silver, copper, turquoise, purple, and blue. Turquoise, purple, and scarlet. It should just say, take tzemer, take wool. And maybe this wool, you're gonna process it in various different ways. You know what? If you want to do more than that, say take the wool, yeah, and dyes as well. But why say take the main concepts of gold, silver, the products of gold, silver, and copper, and then talk about three different color wool? It just doesn't seem to be the main shout of the pasuk. And in fact, the pasuk doesn't even say the word wool in the end. All it says is turquoise, purple, and scarlet. What's it got to do with it? Also, sheish. What is sheish? Sheish is the way it's twined, where the flax is twined. It's pishton. Say flax. Why say twine? Twine is a process used to do it, not the actual byproduct, not the actual raw material that was considered the basic, that was, in this context, flax. And izim, take goats. What? They stuck a goat up on top on the roof? What do you mean take goats? Take goats wool! Take goats hair! What take goats mean? You didn't take goats. You didn't, you know, stick a hoof here and an eye there. It was izim, or was the material made from goats. What's for izim and goats? Even more than that, even within the list itself, why is it necessary to enumerate the list? Why go through exactly what they needed? If you go through the Parashat Truma, and you go through Parashat Tzaveh, and you go through Yaakov Pekudei, you'll see very clearly exactly what was used in order to build what. You needed to build a oroin, you needed gold, you needed wood, right? It's exactly what you needed. When you needed to build the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, you needed this, you needed that. It tells exactly what you need. Why give a list, an itemized list about all these different things, when in fact the Pasuk himself will explain very clearly what's going to be needed later on? What's this shopping list for? Another question. I mean, this is just basic question one has to ask oneself. Another question. Why bother going and collecting from Klal Yisrael these raw materials? You know, when a person builds a mikveh, he doesn't go collecting bricks and pipes and water. He goes to donors and they give him a check, and with that check, with that money, he goes along and buys what he needs from the biggest distributor, from the big builders. Why go on to Klal Yisrael and ask him, here, a bit of silver here, a bit of gold here, and he finds a bit of wool here? What's this all about? Go along, ask him for money, end of it, go to the biggest distributor, the guy with the most gold and the most silver, write a check and finished. And give him the money. What's all this business about? A bit of gold, a bit of silver. It doesn't seem very efficient. So, all in all, this parasha really needs to be explained. Okay? So, let's understand this as follows. The Hamak Dova says, he says, Ish ashe itvena libo tikhuras tumasi means, this is a trumish take from them, which means as follows. If a person had plenty of money, he's a multimillionaire, but he had no gold, he was not allowed to go and buy a piece of gold from the shop and donate that to the Mishkan. He couldn't do that. He could only have gold that was actually acquired and owned by him beforehand, and that he could give. But he can't go along and buy gold. He can't give a check and use that check to buy gold. Why? What's the idea behind that? If all we need is a Mishkan to be built, what difference does it make? In fact, it's more efficient the other way. So, the Balei Musar say as follows. And they all say this. The Malbim, they all say this. The concept of building a Mishkan is something which is foreign. It's something that requires tremendous, tremendous understanding. The Chinuch goes into this, and Rosh Hashanah Shafal Hirsch goes into this. They're all trying to explain what's the idea of a Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a flash, in a Dasa Machshava, he can make 50 billion stars. He can make 100,000 worlds looking like ours. He needs a Mishkan with a bit of this wall, and a bit of that wall, and a bit of gold here, and a gold there. It's like making the king's throne room with a bit of toys all around. It's embarrassment almost. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs this, and he's got to do a nes of mitzamtzim mishchina, seikis shchina, and to speak between two keruvim. Why does he need this? What's this all about? It's poshut, Rabbi Yisai. It's poshut. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need this. When he says Hashem Echad, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. He's perfect. He has no needs. He needs this for one purpose, and that is lezakis es Yisrael. He does in order to bring out the best in Klal Yisrael. The best in Klal Yisrael is brought out by a person sacrificing or something that is precious of his own to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's much, much easier for a person to write a check for $150 or $200 than to give up a kois, a becher he got from his great-grandfather for his bar mitzvah. Here's silver, take it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want the check. I don't want money. I don't want necessarily the valuable things that are on the market very valuable. I want your heart. I want your dedication. I want your ahava. And therefore, to go along and to give a check, and to just to give money in order to buy something for the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not interested in that. I want you to give something that's been lying around and precious to you. You got a gold watch? Take that gold watch and give it to the Mishkan. You've got silver candlesticks, give that to the Mishkan. That is a show, that is a sign of your dedication to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And by giving, you'll become closer to me, because the more you give, the more you love. That is what the Mishkan is all about. And ultimately, everything else in the Mishkan is all based on that particular theme. It's about bettering the Jew, it's about bettering the human being by giving to a cause that Kadosh Baruch Hu asks for. The Shinova. Chaskel Shinova, the Chazon Yecheskel, says something very beautiful. He says, I'll be drush, but it's absolutely emes. The yikhu li truma. The yikhu li means yikhu, take. Take who? Take the li. Take the me. The yikhu li. Take the me. Take the person inside you, truma, to be separated for Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The yikhu li, take the me. Take the essence, take the neshama, they should be truma separated for Rabbeinu Shel Olam. To what extent does that go? Any person, any desire you have, you run after. A person is willing to go and work and work and work late into the night, travel, put his mind into business just in order to make some money that ultimately is finite. And at the end of it, he gets put in a box and the money gets given to his widow, and somebody who he hates marries his widow. That's basically the story, right? But a person's willing to do that. That's basically the idea. Says a Shinova, Me'ez kol ish, ashid ven liboy. Anything that you're willing to be in a diva slave, anything you're willing to invest, that should show you how much tikhu estramosi, how much you should separate for me. If you're willing to work so hard for your ashid ven liboy, for what you love, what you enjoy, what you're willing to invest in, that's how much tikhu estramosi, that is how much you should be taking my truma. That's how much you should be dedicating your heart and your soul for me. And if ultimately, the Yikhuli Truma is the idea of taking yourself, taking something that ultimately is precious to you, taking it and making it yours. V'nosnu, the Pasuk says, is V'nosnu Ish. V'nosnu, yeah, the word V'nosnu is read forwards and backwards. V'nosnu, Vov Non, Nun, Tof, Nun Vov is read backwards. I'm sure you've heard this dozens of times, right? So V'nosnu, that is ultimately the idea of the yikhuli, you're taking, the maisa you're giving. And we'll see how that comes out in the reality of all this. Now, I want to show you a fantastic medrash. The medrash brings down in Shemois Rabbah, Parashim Memtes base. Listen to the gavlus of this. And this vart is brought down, I saw in Ma'ayon Beis HaShe'evo, I think it's called, from Rav Schwab. Says a medrash, listen to this carefully. Zav, says a medrash, Ze Avram. Zav is Avram. Shenivcham bekivshon ha'esh kezav. That he was tested in the kivshon ha'esh like Zav was. Kesef is Yitzchok. Shenitzraf ka kesef agav mizbeach. He became pure like silver on top of the mizbeach. Nechoshes is Yaakov. Shnema nechashti vayvorcheni Hashem biglolecho. Who said this? I don't know. Nechashti, I have through my murmurings, I have established that my bracha came through you. Who said nechashti?
Yosef.
No, Yosef's grandfather. Nechashti said to Yaakov Avinu. Nechashti. Exactly, Lavan. Lavan comes along and says to Yaakov at the end, Nechashti, I have murmured, yeah, and I've seen through my murmuring, through my magic, whatever it is, Vayivarcheni Hashem Migalecha, HaKadosh Baruch has blessed me through you. And therefore, Nechashti is the same letters as Nechoshes. Okay, we'll use the extra, but Nechoshes. So therefore, Yaakov is Nechoshes. Gevaldi. Ad Kan the Medrash. Now, that's all very nice. Avram is gold, Yitzchak is silver, Yaakov is copper. But there's major problems with this midrash. First of all, as we know, although Avraham Avinu was the Jewish pioneer, Avinu began Klal Yisrael, he was not the Bechir Ha'ovis. He was not the ultimate of the Ovis. Avraham Avinu, he was the beginning of Klal Yisrael. But the Bechir Ha'ovis, the most chosen, the most favorite, the most precious one, the Ovis, is Yaakov Avinu. He's the Bechir Ha'ovis. So therefore, to say Avraham Avinu is gold, and Yitzchak is silver, and Yaakov is copper, is not continuing with the idea of what Yaakov Avinu really was. Yaakov Avinu was not copper. Yaakov Avinu was more valuable, if you may say so, than Avraham Avinu. I'm not saying this, he's Bechir Ha'ovis. He was the chosen one of the Ovis. He was Mitoso Shlemo. He didn't have any children who had to purify, and some go off and only the pure one come out. He didn't have that. He's Bechir Ha'ovis. So why make Avraham Zov Yitzchak Kesef and Yaakov Kopper when he's Bechir Ovis? Number one. Number two.
So Yaakov should be gold. That's
yeah, right. Yeah. If Avram's gold, don't make Avram copper. But if Avram's copper, at least Yaakov's copper, at least Yaakov's gold, you know. Don't necessarily work the other way around. You have to make poor Avram into copper. But you can't go down in level. Number two, the raya that Yaakov Avinu was Nechashes was because Lavan said to Nechashtani, I have, through my murmurings, so the murmurings and the chayshes, and it doesn't sound that Yaakov Avinu is copper just because he used the word nechashtani. I have seen through my murmurings. That's why Yaakov Avinu was copper. It sounds a little bit distant. Yeah, it doesn't seem to relate. It doesn't seem to ring true. Yeah, it doesn't seem to conduct the correct energy that is so. Okay, excuse it. Fine. So Rishim Shlav explains as follows. Now, I've researched this, and apparently, so did Rav Schwab. Gold, when you mine it, it can be found immediately as being beautiful. When a person has a gold rush in America, when they're going from place to place and finding the gold fields, as soon as they struck gold, they could see the gold dust. They could see something shining. It's a beautiful, from the very moment you see the gold, you see that's gold. That is something which is absolutely beautiful. The beauty is apparent immediately. You know, it doesn't need any processing, doesn't need any purification, it's right there. Silver, anyone know about silver? Silver requires refining. It is not something that you mine and suddenly you find silver, or you find silver dust. Silver is an alloy of other metals and minerals. In other words, when you take other metals, zinc, it's a byproduct of other metals that you've got to purify, and by doing so, you come out with silver. But it's not, you don't strike silver. Yeah, you strike gold. Silver is a process, it's a purification process. Okay? But the metal that you're taking it from is often very beautiful. It actually, silver can be a derivative of gold. It can be an alloy of gold. I'm not going I don't know exactly how that works, but it can derive silver from a certain byproduct of gold, but the silver, the products themselves can be very beautiful. Copper is ugly. When you see it, it has absolutely no beauty at all. It's a mineral, which you dig out the ground. It usually has oxides over it, and it's very, very badly tarnished. But with a lot of work, and with a fantastic amount of polishing, you can take something which is really disgustingly ugly and make it shine and make it look like gold. That is the characteristic of copper. So I'm sure by now you see the thread. Avram Avinu was appreciated from day one who he was. When Avram Avinu set out on his journey, and Avram Avinu said, Rabbeisai, let's Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he made himself known, you could see straight away the galus Avram Avinu. Everyone gave him respect. Okay, they took away his wife here and there, but there was ultimately there's a respect for Avram Avinu. He was a world leader. He was a figure that the world respected. They made him into a king. You know, he was somebody that everyone saw and appreciated as soon as they saw him. He was gold. Yitzchak was not as apparent. Why not? Let's take when Yitzchak Avinu was walking with Avram Avinu on his greatest trip ever. Yitzchak was walking with Avram Avinu to the Akedah. Who was with Yitzchak at that time? Two people. Yishmael and Eliezer. Eliezer, the Pasuk says, was HaMoshel B'kol HaSheloi. He was Moshel. He was ruling over everything he has. So the Medrash, Doile U'mashkel M'toiris Rabbi L'Acherim. He was a Rosh Hashiva. He took everything Avraham Avinu had and taught it to other people. He was great. Eliezer was great. He had even a Havamina that his daughter would be fitting to marry Yitzchak. But he was great. That was Eliezer. Who was Yishmael? Yishmael at that time was a Baal Tshuva. And a complete Baal Tshuva. To an extent that we have plenty places in history where we have Tanoim or Kohen Kahanim Gedolim who are named after Yishmael. Tell you a little anecdote. Between my brother and myself is 15 years space. Father hadn't made any bris between my brother and myself. 15 years. And not only that, the bris wasn't on time, and it was a bit of a balagan beforehand, when it was going to be, when it wasn't going to be. So my father was a little bit flustered. The time he came to the bris, he was very flustered. You know, also the sight of a knife and blood, and this, you know, my father doesn't do very well with things like that. So at the time it came, so after the bris, my father was real panic. So the moil, who was it? The Amida de Brachos, I think it was the Baumgarten, said to my father, Kol Shmoi B'Yisrael, and what's it called? David Yishmol. Instead of David Shmuel, David Yishmol. So somebody gave a jab, and you mean David, because the parashas by Yera as well, with all that was going on, you mean David Shmuel. Yeah, David Shmuel. So Ado Yemazer, and you got people who are at the bris, oh, how are you doing, Yishmol, you know. But Yishmol was a person to tshuva, you know. Yishmol was somebody to tshuva. And therefore, Yitzchak, you can still get people going, oh, how are you, Shmuel? You know, exactly who's been in my bris. But Baruch Shem was not called there. But you have Yitzchak surrounded by Yishmol, who was a tzaddik, and you have Eliezer, who was a tzaddik. So was he apparent? Did you see Yitzchak shining above everyone else? The answer is absolutely not. Only when he came to the Akedah, Avinu said, do you see the Shechina? Do you see the cloud? And they didn't see it. So Avinu said to them, Shvulechem poyim machamoy, you stay here. Ah, you're not the same level. Yitzchak is the same level. And therefore, from these two other great people, Yitzchak was not apparent. Only later on was there purification. Could you see Yitzchak was special? And therefore Yitzchak is like silver. Okay, therefore it wasn't apparent immediately, it was taken out from the other two to show how different he was to the other two, and that brought out his value, that brought out his greatness. That was Yitzchak. Yaakov, though, from the very beginning, however great he was hounded. He was persecuted. In order to survive his levels of godless, he had to lie to an extent. He had to take advantage of people who were at a weakness in order to reach his levels of ruchnius. He had Esav running after him. He had Lavan pursuing him. He had everyone absolutely pulling Yaakov down again and again and again. He had no covered, he had no godless, he had to run away. Nobody appreciated him. No one! No one appreciated him. Not only that, when he built up Lavan from being a regular businessman to a multimillionaire, what did Lavan say to him? Nochashti, I have seen through my nichush through my understanding of magic, or my murmurings, that you have good luck. Not that you're a tzaddik. You have good luck. Not even when he made him wealthy did he appreciate his godless. So that's nechashti. That was what represented nechashes. There was absolutely, didn't see Yaakov's greatness at all. It looked oxidized. It did not see it looked tarnished. He did not see who Yaakov was. But ultimately, Yaakov was a Bechir HaOvus. With all that, he created 12 Shvatim. He created Dino. He created a family that was the beginnings of Klal Yisrael. He became the Bechir HaOvus. He polished and he polished and he fought and he fought and he became Yaakov Avinu. And he's Bechir HaOvus. And that is how Yaakov Avinu is Nechashes, through Nikin Nechashtani, through the process of purifying himself. Okay? Now, the question remains, however, Yaakov is still copper, and Avraham Avinu is still gold. Which means, even though ultimately Yaakov Avinu has made himself from nothing into copper, but still, the way the Pasuk, and the way we read in the Pasuk, or Avraham Avinu, the way we see the world, Avraham Avinu remains gold, and Yaakov Avinu remains copper. Still, that's not what we should be calling the Bechira of as copper, correct? In other words, even though the process of how it's created, gold being seen automatically as being great, and silver being worked through a process, and Nechashes being something you don't see at all, but still, end of the day, the Medrash is comparing Avram to gold and Yaakov to copper. How will we answer the Medrash? So, near start, you want to say as follows. That if we go to London Bullion, you know, and you want to buy bullion market, want to buy some gold or silver, then obviously if you look in the Financial Times, gold has a greater value than silver, and silver has greater value than copper. No doubt about it. That is the price of metals on the market. Says a Medrash, when it comes to Ribbono Shel Olam, when it comes to appreciating the individual, then gold is on a lower level than copper. Gold that is determined by its beauty straight away had no fight. Silver had less of a fight, but copper, silver had more of a fight, but copper had even more of a fight. That is the Bechira Ovis. Copper, because it takes so much work, is ultimately the most choshev.
Sefer Stone, I mentioned last week.
We'll come to that. That is the most choshev. Copper is the most choshev. And it's what the work you put into it. Of course we value gold more because we are looking at the financial market. We're not looking at the spiritual market. The spiritual market is adarabba. On the contrary, copper is the most valuable. Why? Because the more a person puts the nediva salev, the more the person puts their heart into avodas Hashem, the more the person works on building himself with a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is what gives it value. And therefore Yaakov is Bechira Ovus. Why? Because he's copper, not despite his copper. This I want to express is pshat in as well in giving these different, if you discussed beforehand, you talk about gold, zahav, silver, kesef, nechashes, copper, and then you start talking about three different kinds of wool. Techeles, argoma, and telashoni, three different kinds of wool. Say tzemer and say the dye. Don't say the colours, and not even talk about the very basic material itself, correct? Talk about linen, and don't talk about how it's processed. Don't talk about sheish. You didn't bring goats to the Mishkan. You brought goat hair to the Mishkan. It happened to be that you actually had to plait the hairs on the goat itself. But you didn't bring goats. You brought the goat hair. Why? What's the idea behind that? Says Rav Schwab as well in a different piece. He says in our world, in our physical world, what is important is, I need to call this in the correct way. Excuse me a second. It's a substance. It's a substance. In other words, if a person goes to the shop and he wants to buy a sefer, right? He says, I'd like, please, a Mishnah Berurah. Okay, he wants to buy a Mishnah Berurah. Fine. It happens to be that Mishnah Berurah is blue. But a person, unless it's a real, you get people who do that as well, they want to decorate the house, going to have these 2 meters by 60 centimeters of blue sphorum. Doesn't matter what they are, because that just fits into the colour scheme of the study. But the colour is not important. What's important is, of course, the substance. how it looks, the tzura, is really not important. So it's a Mishnah Berurah that happens to be blue. It's not blue which happens to be a Mishnah Berurah, correct? Yes? A person buys a string of wool, a red wool, doesn't go to shop and say, can I have some red, please? And immediately he gets wool. It's wool that is red. So we would expect, the way we'd expect the Pesukim to say, wool that is coloured. What does the Pesuk say? It's coloured. Doesn't even talk about the wool. Why? Because the raw material is absolutely not important when it comes to Ruchnius. I don't care what it is in the physical world that you're using. What I want is a result and how it got to those results. I want those colours. I need purple. Why? Because purple creates a certain level of Ruchnius. Scarlet creates a certain level of Ruchnius. That is what's important. In other words, I'm dafka not talking about the substance, because the substance, what you're using for the Avodas Hashem, is not important. A multimillionaire can give a huge amount of money and a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'm not really that interested. Keep it. What I want is the Kiddush Hashem. I want a Divas Alev. I want what's coming out from you. And therefore, the result is what's important. It's not what you're actually using. Do you understand? And therefore, that's why the Pasuk says the different colors of wool rather than the raw ingredient. Because the raw ingredient is nothing. What the importance is what it actually comes out with. And that's what we discussed in the past. Very briefly, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh's famous Kasha. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks, if you look in the whole list, we start talking about gold, silver, copper, right to the end of the list, it says, oh yeah, by the way, Avni Shoyin and Avni Meluim, Eif de Lachoshin. They brought Avni Shoyin and Avni Meluim, they had these special stones for these very precious stones for the Choshin and for the Avni Meluim. One second. These precious stones are certainly worth more than a bit of spice in the previous Pasuk, or a bit of oil in the previous Pasuk. Why bring these precious stones right to the end of the list? So Aruch Chaim says, you know why? Because the Nesiim brought these. And the Nesiim says, Rabbi Isai, you know what? You give whatever you want to give first. We will top up whatever's left. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what did they leave? Klai Yisrael brought everything they needed, and therefore all they ultimately needed was a few stones, which the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to them, and they brought that. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? Say the end of the list. It may be on the market, on the gem market, that this is worth and more valuable in the list of things much more than the coloured wools or the shemen, etc. But when it comes to value in the world of Ruchnius, it's all about Asher Yidvenu Liboy. It's all about how much heart you put into it. If a person can say, chill, I'm relaxed, let's see what everyone else brings, and then I'll bring whatever, I'll top everything up, that is lacking in a basic fundamental of love. I don't know whether any of you have ever bought a birthday present for your wife, right? An expensive birthday present, and you can't wait for her to see it. And you bought it 3 weeks before the birthday. Every day you're dying to give it to her early. You know, you sort of give a few hints, and you know what it is. You know, sometimes you can't help it, you just got to show it to her, to make her happy, yeah? And then sometimes you steal it back until the birthday, or something, then the heart that had the birthday, and then she said it comes to the birthday, and she remembers, oh yes, this is for your birthday, whatever it is. But this is the idea of Avot Mekalkeles Es Ashura. The fact that you want to make somebody happy, the fact that you want to give, does not allow a person to sit back and say, you know what, let's be logical about this. Let's wait and see what's missing and we will fill up the gap. That is not Yidvenu Liboy. That is not what Kodesh Baruch Hu is after. And that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yes, you bought the most valuable thing, that comes at the end of the list. Rav Zev Lef says, what punishment did they get for not giving those... for not giving those gems in time, and for not giving their present at the beginning? Does anyone know how the Pasuk shows the disappointment with them? At the end of the parasha, if you look in parashas, it says that at the end of the Nesiim, it says Nesiim without a Aleph. I'm not sure where that is. Yeah, it's in Matos, I think. It says, and Nesiim without an Aleph, without the Yud. Yeah, Nesiim without a Yud. In other words, instead of saying Nesiim with Nun, Siin, Aleph, Yud, Mem, like it says over here, it says Nesiim, Nun, Siin, Aleph, Mem. So that Yud was missing, to show that Kodesh Baruch was very disappointed with his Nesiim. Okay? The Kasha asked of Zev Lef, I ask, and he just answers in that way, is, what's the big thing about the Yud? If you want to show how bad they were, that they were missing something, take out a bigger letter. Say, take out an Aleph, right? Nesem. You know, do something. Why take out the yud? Why in the sea? Why take out the yud? What's the day behind that? So he says, you know why? Because there's a fundamental misunderstanding between Nesiim to Nosom. Nesiim means, what does Nesiim mean, literally? Presence. Those who carry. Nesiim. Those who carry. Okay? Nesiim, Nun Siim, Aleph Mem means those who are carried. Nosom, they are carried. Right? They made a mistake and they think, oh, let's think how we can give the Rabbeinu Shleilam in a very intellectual way. Says Rabbeinu Shleilam, number one, your heart is missing. Number one, your heart is missing. Where's your heart? Where's your ahavo? That's not the way you give a gift. You want to give a gift, you don't think about intellectualizing the best, most effective, most cost-effective way to give it. You give it because you're crazy in love with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you want to give it. Number one. Not only that, your head's missing. You know why? Because you think you're giving something. You think you're being a big tzaddik. You're not giving anything. You think you're carrying, you're not, you're being carried. When you give something, you get taking it back. The yikhuli truma, it's a lekicha. You're taking truma for yourself when you're giving away. And therefore, it checked the loss of you from nisi'im to nos'om, they're being carried. One never knows who's carrying who. There's a famous story of the Blazer Gordon. The Blazer Gordon was what the Rosh Yeshiva tells. And he married a daughter of Rav Avraham Yitzchok Nevi Ezer, a very wealthy man. And of course, Rav Blazer Gordon was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And the agreement was that his father-in-law will support him as long as he needed, but he'll be living in his father-in-law's house. That was a granny flat there. And then he was living in the house, and he ate off the table, and he lived off his father-in-law. And year after year, he was sitting there steiging, growing and learning. And community after community begged Blazer Gordon to become their Rav. And each time went to his father-in-law, and his father-in-law says, nope, you stay with me and I'll support you. And again they came, nope, stay with me and I'll support you. Eventually, the wife, his mother-in-law, said, listen, how long can we support this couple for? Now, how long can we support them for? He's got offers for Rabbonus. Let them go out and be independent. So the father-in-law says, do you think I'm supporting him? He's supporting me. Having a Talmud Chacham in the home, that's the biggest schus. He's supporting me. A little while later, he was offered the job to become a Rav, and this time he asked his father-in-law, and with a broken heart, he said, yes, okay, go take the job. He took the job, and the day after he left, his father-in-law died. That's idea, v'nosnu. The pasuk says, v'yikhu li truma. Don't think for one second you're giving v'yitznu. It's not. It's v'yikhu you're taking. Every time you give to something of kedusha, of giving of yourself to Rabbeinu Shalom, it's v'yikhu you're taking for yourself. I prepared quite a bit more. Unfortunately, time has run out. So let's just try and wrap up and see exactly how this answers the kashas, the original kashas. First of all, what does it mean v'yikhu li? It's v'yitznu li. The answer is, it's not. It's not a lekicha. It's not in the scene. It's a lekicha. Who is it? I think Rav Breuer as well says. We find that Avram Avinu, it says the first time the pasuk talks about the amount that he gave to the malachim within Gemilas Chasadim, it says yukach nomat mayim, take for yourself a bit of water. Right, take. It says ve'ekcho paslechem, I will take bread. It's not. I'll give you bread. What's I will take? So he said, this is a limit for all future generations, that whenever you give, you're taking. Whenever you give to somebody else, you think you're giving, you're not, you're taking for yourself. Ve'ekho, I'm going to take for myself. I'm giving to you, I'm taking for myself. Ve'ekho, ve'ekho. So ve'yikho is actually ve'yitnu. The question again was asked, why is it necessary to collect all these items? Just give a check. Give money. Let them buy it. The answer is no. I want you to give us a slave. I want you to take something that you treasure. I want to take your silver candlesticks and use that in my base of Mikdash, in my Mishkan. Because that is what's important. Writing a check is something I've never seen that money. It's not enough. Don't swipe the credit card. That's not what I want. It's about growth. And that's why it goes on to different details, exactly what they gave. Why? Because we see from here the importance of not necessarily the substance, the object, but the substance. That's what's important. We see from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov that the Bechir HaOvos is represented by the fact of him being copper rather than being gold or silver. By the way, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh brings two other teretzim. The other teretz is, he says, that the reason why the Avraham is brought to the end is because of there was no effort put in. The clouds brought it for them, and therefore there's no effort. Amen. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not into stuff done without effort. And the other teretz he gives, anyone know the other teretz? It didn't cost him anything. No, the other teretz is that it was used for big dekahuna. And big dekahuna, a person has to have personal benefit from. And therefore, there's a certain element missing of totally lishma for Rabbeinu Shloim. But ultimately, that is the other lesson. The other lesson is, as we discussed, the Rav Schwab's understanding of why it mentions the different materials and talks about the idea of what they were rather than what they were made of. The idea of Avram being gold, Yitzchak being silver, Yaakov being copper, to explain to us that copper is sometimes more valuable than the gold, because it's the work you put in, the effort you have, that is what makes a person more pure, that's what makes a person more bachur, that makes a person more chosen. And that's why it says that Eifod and Nechoshen, it talks about the Avnishayim, Avnayim, Luin at the end of the list, because really they deserve to be the end of the list. They aren't more precious. It's not if they're more precious than the stuff to the end of the list. It's in a descending order. This is the bottom of the list. It's the least precious to Rabbeinu Shloim. No effort, no mind, no lishma, no value. That's the bottom of the list. I just want to finish off with one beautiful, beautiful vort. I think I said this a couple of years ago, that from my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kaufman. Whenever we talk about giving to the Mishkan, it always talks about ad yidvenu liboy. Yidvenu liboy means a nadova. Okay? A nadova. Correct? A nadova. He asks, the Sfas Emes I think brings this, that there's something else which is better than a nadova. Something called a neder. What's the difference? Ein bei neder and nadova is a Mishnah in Megillah, plenty other places. The difference between a neder and a nadova is, if I say hare zu olai, hare zu korban, this should be a korban, that is a nadova. And this is a korban, and what happens is, this korban now goes to the base of Mikdash. If it dies, I have no responsibility. If it gets stolen, I have no responsibility. If I ever said hare olai korban, and I happen to have one animal at home, then I can use this animal for a korban. But if it gets stolen, or if it gets lost, I have to bring another one. So therefore, ultimately, for the best case scenario of Hektish getting something, is a neder. If a person hare olai, they have a much stronger insurance they're going to actually be receiving it. A nadava, however, is not so secure for the Mishkan, because it could be you'll get lost and you won't have to pay. So why talk about Ashi Yidvenu Liboy and Nadova? Why not talk about Ashi Yidvenu Liboy and Neder, which is much better? So he answers that if we're talking about the financial gain of the Rabbeinu Shloim, and that's what we're looking at, then of course he'd be right, say Yidvenu Liboy and Neder. But we're not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu earning a bit more money, a bit less money. That's not what it's all about. What it's about is creating the individual. Creating the individual, making the person better. What makes a person better? A neder or a nadova? Harei alai, somebody comes along and says to you, you know something? I'm collecting for an oni. And he's marrying off his daughter. I need something, he's got nothing in the house. I need something in order to marry him off. So what's better for a person to say, you know something, let me think about it, put me down for $100, or to open up his wallet and to say, look in his wallet and say, wow, that's such a fantastic cause, wow, all I have here is $80, please take this $80. What's working on a person more? It's quite clear than the dover. Here, hurry, zoo, take it. You want something here, take, this is a korban. This is it, I'm giving, I can see in front of my eyes, take it. That is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. It's Ashe Yidvenu Liboy. And when the Nesim, however, did want to bring the Avnei Shein Avnei Meluim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Nes that it actually came into their hands, says the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, Ashe Yidvenu Liboy Tikchur Esrumasi. Anything a person actually wants to give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it possible for the person to be able to give it. They wanted to give the Avnei Shein Avnei Meluim, although it was not the best case scenario, with no effort, no lishma, etc. But that's what they wanted to give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will make a Nes that you'll be able to give that. Whatever a person wants to give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the person to give more if he gives Ashi Yidvenu Liboy, if he gives his whole heart for Rabbeinu Shloim to sacrifice of himself and to connect with Rabbeinu Shloim in a way that is meaningful and a way of growth. That is Parshas Truma.
How do I save this?
Press the middle button.